I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the nightcap here on VSiN, and boy, oh boy, do we have ourselves an entertaining Game 6. Joel Embiid and John Collins were just going at it, Jeff, and I believe, as we don't have sound on in the studio, my assumption is double technicals assessed, and we move on. 4 minutes to go, the Philadelphia 76ers, a 7-point lead over the Atlanta Hawks. I closed out last night's show by saying, what? I would hate myself if the Philadelphia 76ers lost. Why would I bet on them? I did bet on them. I told you I'd bet on them at minus 154 on the money line. Didn't even get a great number because that ended up going down. I could have got, I think, as low as minus 145 in town on the money line. Sweating it out here. We'll see if the Philadelphia 76ers can avoid what they have done in the last two nights, in the last two games. However, tonight, the difference being they were actually down at the half. And they've battled back at a big third quarter, Jeff, and now trailing by, or up by six, excuse me, with 3:54 to go. Joel Embiid has been awful tonight.
Yeah, the knee is clearly impacting him tonight. By the way, the biggest thing out of that altercation, double text, by the way, on Collins and Embiid, and Bruno Fernando left the bench. So, Bruno Fernando, We hardly knew you in this series. We probably won't see you in Game 7 now. not that he's played at all. Sorry for Aaron Oster.
Or Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's true. If Philly's up 7 with 3.5 to go, and I know they've done a spectacular job of blowing leads in this series.
Are you kidding me right now, Jeff? Like, are you trying to just get my blood pressure boiling?
I think you're okay here, Tim Murray. Okay. And if they blow the lead, you will have endless opportunities over the next 2 hours and 55 minutes to go after me.
I mean, what are we... It was last week. He's telling Stanford Steve that, you know, the Mets are going to win the NL East, and he had to have
I'm still going to be right on that,
and now...
Though.
You're
fine. You're about to be up 10 here.
He's like in a presidential election calling a state with like 1% of the vote in. I mean, this is the Philadelphia 76ers who epically collapsed the last two nights and now up 7 in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go.
I think you're fine.
He's coloring the state red or blue here.
I'm not doing that yet, but I think you're okay here. I really do.
My goodness. I mean, the other team has Trae Young, who has gone over his point total again, and I continue to be surprised.
There you go. It's four. There you go. See, this is the big difference. If I wouldn't have said this if you laid the points, Tim Murray. If you laid the points, I wouldn't have done
this.
Because
they won the last two games they played against Atlanta?
I still
with
think...
With big leads?
I still think they're okay here.
What are we doing?
I still think they're
Aaron,
okay.
What are we doing?
This lineup they have out there is hilarious, though, because Simmons is unplayable because he can't make free throws. You have Maxey and George Hill. George Hill's legitimately horrible in this series, so... But here you go, Tim. Look, if they blow the lead, you can blame me for the next 3 hours.
I don't want to blame you. I'd rather win my bet.
Oh, I agree with you.
That would be preferable.
I'd rather you win your bet also. That makes everyone happier here.
Rather my co-host not come in and be like, yeah, this game's over. Sixers won.
I said you're okay.
You're good. You're good. This thing's locked up. Your money.
After Young throws this in, you're really going to have a fun time. See, at least I got that right. This here you go, down to one with 1:59 to go. That's an absurdist shot that Young just threw in, by the way.
I've never wanted Jeff to be off this set
now. I'll go home. I get paid the same way. I'll go home.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call some people. Bill out there.
Bill's out there. Bill's having a good time with
94-93. Trey Young just hit an inexplicable three. Only Trey Young can do. By the way, what I was going to say, how does Trey Young's point total, and this is kind of like the totals in the Bucks Nets series, how is it 27.5? Didn't you know this dude was going to go over? It was, here at Circa, it was 27.5. Juiced over -125, but you just knew Trey Young would go off tonight, and he's got 34 points, just hit a ridiculous three, and now it's a 1-point game. Jeff told me it was over when it was a 7-point game.
I said you're good.
One point game.
Big difference. Not really though.
The nightcap. It's a Friday night here from the Circus Sportsbook. 1:59 to go in the fourth quarter. It is a slugfest. It is not the prettiest game. And Trey Young has 34 points as somehow, some way. This dude, whatever you want to say about Trey Young, the guy's a gamer. And he keeps finding ways to hit big shots. And he just hit one as the shot clock was winding down. And the lights just went out. The lights just went out in Atlanta.
Yes. He can't lose if the lights don't come back on,
Tim
Murray.
What is going on? The lights, it just went pitch black in the Atlanta Hawks game.
I'm enjoying this. Are you enjoying this?
No, I am not.
Are you sure?
I am not. It's 94-93. I have Philadelphia on the money line tonight. I said last night, that's a cool moment. Look at all the fans there are holding up their cell phones. They'll get the lights back on shortly, but that can't be a good sign for me.
No, that's not good for you. Even though, again, remember, what side were you on in that Super Bowl where the lights went out in New Orleans? Were you on either side?
I didn't have a side.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I was working that night, and I got paid extra because I stayed late. So I guess I won.
You won.
I won on that
that's
night.
That's a winner for Tim
Murray. I won on night, and I was doing updates for an all news station, and the lights went out, and I stayed till 2 a.m. So I made some extra bucks on my hourly rate. But look at this—the three that they're showing. I just don't. I mean, Maxey couldn't have played any better defense.
Unbelievable.
No time left on the shot clock, and he hits it. So 94-93 is where we stand. Sixers and Hawks. Ben Simmons, 6 points tonight, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He continues just to really struggle offensively. And his over-under, Jeff, it was 13.5 tonight. And when you look at what he's done in this series, he's gone over that once in the last 4 games. He did have 17 in the series opener, but just these past couple of games, he looks like he wants, nothing to do with the offense. The lights are back on. Philly has the ball. It's a terrible omen. Jeff has already mushed me.
Wait a second.
The lights just went out.
First off, by the way, I have multiple people in my Twitter mentions going after me of my premature call here. I still think you're winning the game here, Tim. Again, I've changed it to think now, but look, make the layup, Joel. There you go. Sixers up 3 with 1:45. If you win the
appreciate
game.
I appreciate the tweet support. people out there.
Our guy Mike, who's one of Mike Palm's biggest supporters to begin with anyway, is on your side. And I can't look, if the Sixers lose this game, I'm not going to take full blame for the loss, but I will say that it had maybe about a less than 1% effect of the outcome here.
Oh, it had all the effect. Trae Young knew. He had heard that a radio host on a gambling network had called the game.
I really want the Sixers to win this game.
Yes, I do too.
Because this is going to be a very ugly 3 hours for me if they don't.
I do too. All right. 96-93 is our score. Embiid's going to the free throw line. Look, I got this, you know, Sixers on the money line. Once again, I predicted I'd be hating myself. Maybe I won't. And they were down after the first quarter by 7. And surprisingly, they've bounced back here. And then, of course, I couldn't keep my hand out of the cookie jar because selfishly, I just want 2 game 7s. So I took a money line parlay with the Sixers and the Jazz. I took 2 road teams and a money line parlay. What is wrong with me, Jeff?
Why not?
I'm my only self to blame on that one.
Oh, that's all you. If either of these teams lose, but I didn't. The only bet I made in this Philly Atlanta game was a Bogdanovich point total over. He got hurt, so that one's done. Even though before he got hurt, he only had 6 or 7 anyway, so that was a loser. And I don't have a side in the late game. I have the over with 221. That's the only bet I have in this late game going now. So we'll see. We'll see how that one goes.
But by the way, you and I, you know, the rivalry continues we got Mr. Met over here.
Mr. Trumpet is not doing right now. Mr. Diaz.
Matt's trying to walk off.
Making a mess of a nothing-nothing. Which, by the way, it was Eric Fetty and Joey Lucchese. How did this game get to nothing-nothing in the bottom of the ninth inning? How did that happen?
Because the Nats can't score. That's how that happens. That is your answer for that one. But as for, you know, the Eric Fetty side of things, I can't answer that. So we got our eyes on a lot of things. The Golden Knights are locked up with the Montreal Canadiens. My goodness. I mean, Joel Embiid.
That was a great shot selection there.
Joel Embiid is going back
get a stop here, and you're up 4 with a possession and a half to go here if you get a stop. Herter, no.
Joel Embiid.
That's out of bounds.
Joel Embiid tonight, and I don't know if it is his leg. It might be. But Joel Embiid, if you played the over on him, that's a tough one because he's nowhere close to 33. He's 9 for 24. He's 1 for 4 from 3. And he's had multiple possessions, Jeff, where he's kind of falling into the Brett Brownian era type of plays where he's like, I'm just going to step back from 20 feet because that's what a 6'11" monster should do. Now, he did just get called shortly ago for a bogus, in my opinion, offensive foul. 97-93 with 34 seconds to go. We're watching this unfold. And, hey, my Nats just beat your Mets. So, a little karma for you.
Well, if the Sixers win, then there's no exchange of karma whatsoever. Mets haven't scored in 2.5 games now, so that's not good. And they're underway in the third period of Montreal. And Tim, what can only be described as something that really can only happen in hockey, or soccer too, but Vegas has completely pummeled Montreal here, and it's a 1-1 game.
Yeah, and the power play. I was Darren Banksy was out there watching the game. Oh, missed free throw, sweet. Watching the game, and he came up to me and just said, "I'll just put it so I could properly say it on the airwaves." The Knights' power play is not very good. There were a couple other ways.
There are some words you can't say.
I cleaned it up a little bit. But he not very complimentary of what the Knights are doing on this power play. And, you know, like in March Madness, you keep the underdog alive as long as they are. And Montreal, the Knights did just kill off a power play here for Montreal. But you keep them alive. I mean, to your point, and we're going to get to the Clippers game here in just a minute. The Montreal Canadiens, I had to double check. That's why the pause. I wasn't trying to do dramatics. I just had to double check that I didn't mess this up. They have 8 shots on goal. 8 in the third period, and it's tied at 1. 30 shots on goal for the Knights, 8 for the Canadiens. And the Knights were minus in a 1-1 game, Jeff, here at Circa. Now, once again, it is the Las Vegas Golden Knights here in Las Vegas. They were minus 180. On the in-game money line. And you see it right now at DraftKings, they concur. Minus 186 on the in-game money line, plus 145 for the Canadiens. That's wild, considering we're tied at one in a play in a Stanley Cup semifinal game in a series that's even at one game apiece. On the road, the Knights are -180, or were -180. But that's what this is.
Well,
and there you go. And there you go. That's why you should have played -180, because the Knights just scored.
Well, again, as we know, we know what's going to... Our feed is maybe like a half a second behind what's behind us. You hear the roar, and you know right away they scored. Pietrangelo. Third goal of the series already for Petro. So 2-1 VGK. Look, Tim, again... The only way that Montreal realistically can win this series is if Carey Price totally, complete thievery, which kind of happened in game two. Knights were slow slow to get going, and again, get down 3-0. You kind of get what you deserve there, but really just a nice shot there on an odd man rush for VGK for Pietrangelo to put the Knights up 2-1 early in the third period, and now... Again, the Canadiens just have not had a lot of scoring opportunities today. So, really, if you're Vegas, you got to find a way to just hold the fort here and get out of there up 2-1.
Danilo Gallinari just had a driving dunk, so a timeout, 3-point lead, 20 seconds to go.
Make your
for
free
Philadelphia.
Throws. Yeah, your free throws.
Let's do that. Don't put Ben Simmons on the floor.
I don't think you're going
to
have to
worry about
that.
Let's get to Utah and LA coming up here momentarily. Another situation of a road favorite down in the series. 3-2, win-or-go-home situation for Utah in this series. We will, if Philadelphia holds on here, not counting my chickens like someone, if Philadelphia wins, that game will be at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific on Sunday. So you have a night game on Sunday. We know we've got a Game 7 tomorrow with Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And Utah and LA could get a Game 7, too. That'll be that prime. That'll be that mid-afternoon game for those on the East Coast. Clippers, in most spots in town, outside of here, Jeff, are a 3-point dog. Here at Circa, they are just a 2.5-point dog. Mike Conley back in the lineup.
Yeah, he's in. And also, by the way, great job in scheduling to put the West Coast game early in the day and the East Coast game late. But
I have to imagine the TV execs would prefer Clippers in that ABC spot. I don't know how that all works, but my hunch is that ABC said, I want that game.
I think that's more because ABC and ESPN have the West Final, and they're just going from there. And if the Clippers win tonight, game one of the West Final will be in that slot instead. They announced that earlier tonight. So we're getting the game on Sunday at 3:30 Eastern regardless. I don't know what it is. I just have a feel that Utah's going to find a way to get this done tonight. And that performance in game five was... For the first half, and we talked about it last night, you talked about it with JVT on Wednesday as it was happening live, you make that many three-pointers in the first half, you better be up about 18 points.
Right.
And they're up 5. And guess what? They got burned because they were not up big enough when they make 16 three-pointers in the first half. So, again, you're probably not making 16 three-pointers in a half again, Tim. Just
unlikely.
The law of averages there. But if you're Utah, you come out, Donovan Mitchell is battling that ankle again, Conley's in, you're supposed to win this game tonight, even on the road, without Kawhi Leonard playing for the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to win at home.
Correct. I mean,
eight and a half point favorite.
Right?
And, you know, they got smoked in the third quarter and ultimately lose that game by 8. Paul George played tremendous. Once again, I don't compliment Ty Lue often because it feels like it takes him a very long time, Jeff, to figure things out. But it seemed like he figured things out for that game. You know, Zubac plays a total of 8 minutes. Pat Beverly kind of drives you crazy. He probably played a little, but Terrence Mann gave you really quality minutes in that game. By the way, Philly up now 100-95 as another dunk home. So 14 seconds left and still gotta make your
free
throws.
Got no timeouts. All right, you got the right guy shooting free throws.
Bias Harris will now head to the free throw line. I'm with you. I took Utah, as I mentioned. I just couldn't keep my hand out of the cookie jar. Had to have something. Man, I had not only one, but two bets trusting a team that blew a 26-point home lead. What is wrong with me? I did that. We'll see if the first leg comes home. I played it straight up. I do have Philadelphia. It's a lot of trust for Philadelphia. I've got them in a series at -130 after they lost game one. So we will get, hopefully, a game seven as Nicholas Batum makes the first free throw. Not Nicholas. I was looking.
Close enough. Tobias Harris.
Look at the wrong thing. I was looking at Nick Batum here in the Clippers box score.
I completely have ruined your headspace this entire first segment.
You have.
And it's going to all be for now when the Sixers end up winning this game.
That is true.
In 13 seconds.
it's the principle. I think our viewers know it's the principle trying to mush me for a team that has melted like an ice cream cone in 115 degree weather. By the way, that's what we had today. That's what you're trying to do to me. But it's all right. It's all right. The Nats beat the Mets, so we're even there on that part. Looking at these player props with this game, probably going to start in moments. Donovan Mitchell, 32.5. Paul George, 30.5. 9.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists. So if you look back at game 5 on the road, Paul George stepped up big time. 37, 16 boards, 5 assists. Do we see a replication or some there close to that, Jeff, of the Paul George performance? Because as I've stated, I'll eat crow when I'm wrong. I have jumped on the bandwagon of Paul George not stepping up in big moments. Well, the last 3 games, he's stepped up. 37 points in game 5, 31 in game 4, and game 3. All wins, obviously, for the Clippers. Does he do it again? I don't anticipate Paul George to have a poor performance tonight, Jeff. But once again, I'm with you. I think Utah, with the depth, with Mike Conley back, and I think the big question, too, is Mike Conley's back. We saw Anthony Davis rush back with the groin injury because of desperation. We saw James Harden rush back with the hamstring injury. Now, had more time than Anthony Davis, but still certainly didn't look himself, right? And then now you have Mike Conley, who hasn't been rushed back. How effective is Mike Conley tonight?
Well, I would imagine he's going to be pretty effective here, Tim. You just have to survive one more inbounds pass now.
There we go. Get it.
Yeah. All right. Make one free throw in your home. But look, you made a very key point there. This was not rushed.
Mm-mm.
They legitimately waited till they were down 3-2 to bring him back until he was
He's missed, you know, what, 11, 12 days? The last game he played was game 6.
Yeah. I expect Conley to be effective. I really do. I don't see why he wouldn't.
And if he's effective, I mean, this Jazz team is a completely different dynamic. Another guy who can step up. But then you have the questions too, because the news all day. Good free throw, Tobias. Atta boy.
I want an apology.
No apologies. Principle that counts. It's a principle. I don't think our listeners agree with me. The principle. Mushing.
Well, Tim, more importantly, though, you at Moneyline here.
Yeah.
Game closed 3 here. We're at 5.
Game
and that's
over.
Where it's going to land.
Yep.
Sixers cover.
Sixers win. Game 7 will be on Sunday evening. It's the nightcap. Jeff's off the hook. He's allowed to stay here on VSiN.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
COVID forced Canadian racing into a long delay, but they are competing again at Woodbine. Champion jockey Rafael Hernandez talks about it and his recent injury on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Penelope Miller of America's Betting Racing Team, Best Racing, and Dwayne Colucci talk in this episode 2, which posts every Friday morning, which is today, so it's already posted, vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It is sponsored by First Bet. Clippers and Jazz underway, a early 8-7 lead. JVT's favorite player, Terrence Mann, already with a pair of threes in this one to give the home team, the Clippers, a one-point lead. And Royce O'Neal responds with another three.
That's a good start for my over 221 here, Tim.
Yeah, you called it. You said, didn't even hesitate. Total too low.
Oh, I've been saying that the whole postseason for Utah games. That's why I would like Utah to advance to the Western Conference Finals, because we'd get at least one more series of totals being too low.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Suns would like that too, because that would give them another day to hopefully figure out the Chris Paul situation.
Correct.
With the COVID positive. So, like you mentioned, if the Clippers win tonight, whoa,
hello,
Rudy Gobert just flipped over the back of Terrence Mann.
If the
Clippers win tonight, they will play the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix on Sunday afternoon. If the Jazz win, we'll have a Game 7 on Sunday. So 10-8, early lead, has gone final. Philadelphia 76ers, a 104-99 victory. No, I will not apologize. You may have been right, but in theory, you were wrong. Don't ever. Don't mush me like that again. With the Philadelphia 76ers,
You gotta have confidence in your bet.
I'm a weak man. I'm a weak man.
You said it. I didn't.
JVT, you know, JVT could have a bet and you're up 30 and he won't, you know, say anything until it actually cashes. I'm a little more bullish than that, but it's a 7-point game and the team with historic collapses in the last two games at home and now they're on the road. I guess Game 5 was on the road. Game 4 was on the road. But Game 5 was at home.
Well, again, Tim, this is going to be a very impressive series if the Sixers still manage to lose it, because this will be a series then where the Sixers, legitimately, 5 out of 6 games, the Sixers have clearly been the better team in this series.
Yeah.
And we're going 7 because of the horrible fourth quarter in Game 5, horrible second half in Game 4. Terrence Mann just dunked over Rudy Gobert.
I need to reiterate that at once upon a time, Ty Lue, I'm old enough to remember when Ty Lue said Terrence Mann isn't in our rotation. How is that possible? What we're watching right now, he has 2 threes in this game, and he just dunked over Rudy Gobert's again, because he did it. Yeah, he did it
in Game 5.
He did it in Game 5. So. What was he watching, Jeff?
I don't know. I had 10 points already in 4 minutes. And look, Tim, the Clippers out to a 12-10 lead and a pretty shaky start all the way around for Gobert. He went flying over the top of Terrence Mann, then just got dunked on a putback. Not the greatest start for the Frenchman there. But look, I'm very curious how this throughout this game, and I'm going to take a quick turnaround here in a second to see what the live line is. Behind us here at Circuit, Tim, but at some point I have a feeling Utah's going to be worth a play if they're trailing for a bulk of this game.
Yeah, so far, I mean, the defensive effort is there. Terrence Mann, 3 for 3 from the field. Let's take a look here.
By the way, it's a pick 'em right now here.
And to all of you Terrence Mann backers, you can cash your ticket. 3 minutes and 51 seconds in, Jeff. Terrence Mann has gone over his point total. Yes, 10. Now, I can't mush that because that's already home. Three minutes and 51 seconds into the game.
Winning a player prop in less than a quarter of a quarter is pretty good.
Before the first media timeout, Terrence Mann has gone over his player prop.
If you bet that over, it's a good night. If you bet it under, well, at least you lost quickly.
Wow, that is something right there. I was going to get into a little bit of U.S. Open here, but we'll hold off on that. The Vegas Golden Knights up 2-1, trying to take a 2-1 series lead over the Montreal Canadiens. They were -180 on the money line going into this period because they had just dominated the game, but it was a tie game. They do have a 2-1 lead right now, so we'll see if the Golden Knights can wrap things up. The Sixers win. We'll have a Game 7 on Sunday evening. And it's the Terrence Mann Show so far in Los Angeles as the Clippers have a 2-point lead. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to make some more golf bets heading into the weekend? Don't miss a special After the Cut edition of the Long Shots podcast. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds look ahead to the weekend at the U.S. Open and tell you who's worth playing and who's worth fading at Torrey Pines. The Long Shots podcast is available at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It is the nightcap here on VSIN. We will talk a little Brooklyn Nets, Milwaukee Bucks, Game 7, coming up in 10 minutes. Our good friend Jared Smith will also join us at the top of the hour. Maybe, you know, I was going to let you talk some Euro today, and then you got me all, you know, flustered.
You still won the bet. I did everything in my power to apparently try to mess it up, and you still won.
I know.
But again, somehow,
the karmic gods were on my side. And then, you know, what happened was, because you tried to mush my bet, that's why the Nats beat the Mets tonight.
Oh, the Nats beat the Mets because the Mets didn't score. That's as simple as that there, Tim Murray. But look, you had it all the way. It was the power outage. The power outage got you home.
Power outage helped me out, yeah. 16-15 right now, the Clippers leading the Utah Jazz. Just real quickly, I want to take a look at the U.S. Open leaderboard. Look, I'm not one to brag, but, I mean, I told you. Richard Bland is going to play well this week, Jeff. I told you that countless times. You wouldn't listen to me. And here he is, 5 under. And he was what? 1,111 to 1 here at Circa.
Just a comical number.
So, look at those numbers. 1,111. or 1,000. I can't even say it properly.
Four ones, guys. Four ones to one. $1 wins you over 1,100.
That's incredible. So right now, you're pairing tomorrow, as you see right there, Bland and Henley.
Why not?
Henley was 454 to one, and Bland 1111 to one. This feels like the folks here at Circa were having some fun
Tim, here's the problem, though. Going into tomorrow, those are the two guys I want to fade the most tomorrow.
I know, and they'll be matched up.
And they more than likely are going to be matched up against each other, which turns it into a complete non-bet in a matchup. And look, if you can get a matchup tomorrow where you're having to lay less than like minus 160, I don't care who it is. Especially if it's someone at the top of the leaderboard, where the other guys at the top of the leaderboard are Louis Oosthuizen, who is always competitive at majors.
I know. I played him at the PGA as an outright, and he finishes second.
And he might finish second again in this.
Matt
Wolf, who, by the way, it's nice to see Matt Wolf healthy again after dealing with a whole host of injuries earlier this year. Bubba Watson coming out of nowhere, 4-under today. But with this all said, though, Tim, this feels like John Rahm's going to win this tournament at this point. Because Rahm has been very steady through these first two rounds, a 2-under in round one, a 1-under today, a 69 at 70. And the guys in front of him, other than Oosthuizen, and look, I would love to see Matt Wolf stay in this thing like he did last year at the PGA, which, again, California course last year in San Francisco at Harding Park. And now this year, another California course here at Torrey Pines. Obviously, Southern and Northern California, a little bit different, but similar-ish climbing for those two. But look, it is one of those where Rahm is the best player in the world at this point and still is looking for that elusive major here, Tim. And it would not shock me one bit coming off of the tournament where he was going to win in Ohio if he didn't test positive for COVID, that he flips right around and gets it done here over the weekend, and he should be the betting favorite when those lines repost.
Yeah, DraftKings right now has, they have evolving odds, and John Rahm is plus 350.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So we'll see what he is when, you know, Westgate posts him. Jeff Sherman usually will get him up quickly here at Circa, other places in town when they get him. We're going to talk to Johnny Avello later on in the show, and he'll give us an update on where they stand, but yeah, I know a lot of people. It's funny because we talked to Brady on Thursday night's show, yesterday's show. We talked to Wes. And once again, check out the podcast, which I'm sure will be dropping probably in a couple hours. But both Wes and Brady were on John Rahm, which I found interesting. And almost it should have rang the alarm a little bit, Jeff, that both of those guys who are value hunting all the time
end up on the favorite.
Both were on the favorite.
Yeah.
So to me, that should have been like, okay, play John Rahm here. And no one really seemed worried. When we had Steve Sands on, he felt like the COVID situation wouldn't be a hindrance. It would have more of been a motivating factor. He was, you know, frustrated how it played out. He was playing spectacular. So right now the betting favorite. And do we have ourselves a tie game in north of the border here?
What just happened here? Oh, no.
Wow.
A horrible puck mishandle by Marc-Andre Fleury. And we're tied at two.
Oh, no.
Oh, that is shades of Jonathan Quick in St. Louis in 2014.
That is horrific.
Wow. That's as bad as it gets from Fleury.
Wow.
So in a game, once again, where Vegas has totally demolished Montreal, two fluky Canadian goals, and we're tied. Wow.
That, man. And now you're less than 2 minutes away from going to overtime in Montreal. You were 2 minutes away, Jeff, from winning this game, and somehow that happens. And I know folks listening to us, watching us, can't see it. But it was, I mean, that's as unlucky, however you want to define
it. That's just a gaffe that you very rarely see in the NHL by any goaltender.
Went to go clear the puck, and Doug Kazarian just tweeted this out, and I think it's absolutely correct. That Montreal goal was like a video game glitch.
Yeah.
He went to clear it, hit off his skate, and just fluttered right in front of the net. And Montreal, John Anderson just Josh Anderson, excuse me, pops at home. 2-2. They were 2 minutes away from making this a 2-1 series, and now they're going to have to fight for their lives in overtime. And this, to your point, as you continue to reiterate, and you're right, this has been a game dominated by the Vegas Golden Knights. They have 39 shots on goal to 18. They have dominated this game, Jeff, and they're going to go to overtime.
Well, guess what I'll be doing for the overtime period, Tim Murray?
Betting on the Canadiens?
Probably.
Yeah.
If the price is steep enough. I mean, again, going to the third period in a 1-1 game, it was minus 180 on VGK. And look, you and I were kind of...
Looked like it was going to come home.
It looked like it was going to come home, but you and I were kind of discussing it going into that break. Or coming out of that break, and I was like, well, we've seen this song and dance before in the NHL where a team totally dominates and then finds a way to lose the game.
We have a Game 7 tomorrow night, folks. Brooklyn and Milwaukee. It's a pick 'em. And we'll discuss that game in depth next, right here on the Nightcap. Welcome back into the Indeed.com studio. Resumes are good. Resumes with an Indeed skills test are better. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Late first quarter in Los Angeles, and the Jazz currently have a 29-25 lead over the Clippers. A minute 42 to go. Overtime. Overtime is coming in Montreal. Don't know how, but they got there, and the current price, Vegas minus 135 and Montreal plus 115. That's here at Circa. As you see on the screen, our friends at DraftKings have minus 129 for Vegas and plus 102. I claim victory here, Jeff, because last night we said, what will the line be, Brooklyn and Milwaukee? You predicted...
I said 3.5 on the air.
And then you switched
fixed it off the air.
To 1.5.
1.5, which was where it opened, and now we're at pick.
The market has said it's a pick. I predicted pick. I claim victory.
That's okay. You're claiming victories all night tonight.
That's true. I am. And hopefully we get a victory here with the Jazz. But to talk more about this game more than my nonsense, you have got the connections
I get to introduce my guy, a big fan of Shakespeare's Pizza in Columbia, Missouri. It's Alex Schiffer, who now covers the Brooklyn Nets for The Athletic. Schiff, did you make it through your travel odyssey today? You make it through?
Yeah, I just got back home. You couldn't have pulled it off better as a Jersey guy hooking another Jersey guy as having a guy. You're breaking the Italian reason to stay well, Jeff.
Yeah, see, I can do some things correct.
He's like your Bob Sacamano.
Yeah, look, other than mushing Tim's bets that actually still win, we're in good shape. But Schiff, look, Game 7 series tied at 3. Just what's your feel of everything you've seen so far right now, heading into what is legitimately a toss-up going into Game 7?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people were thinking the series to go 6 or 7 games when it started. Maybe not the way it has gone in the sense of, you know, the first two games were blowouts, and then, you know, the Game 3, neither team, the top two offensive teams in the NBA this season, all of a sudden didn't know how to play offense. No one could shoot that game. Just overall, a weird way in which we got here. And yeah, as you said, I mean, to me, it's a pick-em, just like what Vegas is saying. And I think, you know, home court has obviously been huge in this series. The home team's won every time. But also, the Bucks looked a lot better than the Nets did last night. I just kind of wonder if the Nets have someone to step up the way Jeff Green stepped up in Game 5 alongside Durant and a hobbled Harden to give them the points they need to get over the hump.
Talking to Alex Schiffer, covers the Brooklyn Nets for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, @Alex_Schiffer. You mentioned James Harden, and the health of him is a massive question. He was playing on one leg for some reason. Still don't understand. The Bucks did not attack him in Game 5. Didn't really attack him a ton in Game 6. But, Alex, how would you say he is progressing along? I know travel is not conducive to you know, soft tissue injuries like that, but if you had to put a percentage on what he was for Game 5, what he was in Game 6, where do you think he's at for Game 7?
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I would say he was maybe 10 to 20% of himself in Game 5, maybe 40 to 50 pushing 60% of himself in last night, and then I'd say maybe he'll be around 60 to 70% tomorrow night. You know, he it's interesting what's kind of been talked about, what's come out about it since, you know, he's come back playing. I mean, we were led to believe that, you know, he was having high-intensity workouts every day, and that allowed him to come back and get cleared. He said last night, you know, since I got back and playing the games, that's the most movement I've done, which maybe he was still having high-intensity workouts but not moving around as much. I mean, I don't know. Those two things are an interesting marriage if that's the case. And I mean, in game one, he didn't have the elevation. In game five, he didn't have the elevation in his legs to really hit threes. And then you started him getting a rhythm last night. So, you know, he looks better game over game. I think that will still be the case. Steve Nash said today he came out of last night's game fine. So I don't expect him to be 100%. Kevin Durant already said they don't expect him to be 100% movement-wise. But his shooting and ability to manipulate the floor, I think, are enough that where the Nets could win if he can just give them a high level of both those things.
Schiff, just looking at it, you mentioned it before, someone has to be number two behind KD. Obviously, it could be Harden. But one guy that that Tim and I have ragged on a little bit this series, because he's had a bad series, is Joe Harris. What has happened to him in this series? Is it just as simple as it's a shooting funk, or is there something more going on here?
It's crazy. You know, I thought that he was involved in so many of the momentum plays last night. I mean, you know, he misses a three towards the end of the first half with them down five. Middleton comes down and hits a three. All of a sudden, it goes from being potentially a two-point game to an eight-point game. That happened again with him hitting the three in the third, in the fourth, and then he fouls Middleton on a three the next possession, and they never got close again. I think he's had good looks. He's had some threes that look like they were halfway down and rimmed out. I don't know if he's in his own head or anything like that at this point. I think it's a make-or-miss league, and he's just in a deep slump, and seeing some of them go in might be able to get him hot. I mean, Brooklyn, here's a stat for you, Jeff. You know I didn't have these types of numbers on me when I covered Mizzou with you. Brooklyn is 13-1 in games where Joe Harris scores 20 or more points this season. If he's not the ultimate thermometer for the offense, I don't know who is. So if they get him going, I think it could very well be a Nets win with the way they are when he's hot.
Chatting once again with Alex Schiffer, who covers the Nets for The Athletic. And Alex, you look at Giannis, and it clicked last night. Don't shoot threes. I'm sure the crowd will be cheering or chanting like they were in Game 5, egging him on to shoot threes. But, you know, for the first time this postseason, he did not shoot a three, and he kind of looked himself, you know, 12 of 20 from the field, and kind of got that head of steam. What do you expect? Do you expect any tweaks from Steve Nash to try to slow him down? You know, I know the wall worked for Miami, the wall worked for Toronto. Can they throw something like that at Giannis to try to slow him down and not have him have that full head of steam, which when he gets it, he's unstoppable?
It's going to be interesting because, you know, I had really thought DeAndre Jordan would play in this series because of that. And if you look at those games in May, that the miniseries they had in Milwaukee when DeAndre Gordon, he didn't do that bad of a job, all things considered. But they haven't gone that direction, and instead it's been more of Durant, Jeff Green especially, and Blake Griffin on him. And as you said, just as the series has gone on, that's become less effective. I have a hard time seeing them throw DeAndre Jordan out there after not playing in about a month. For a game seven, that's probably the biggest game the Nets have played since they moved to Brooklyn. But I also don't know what your other options are. I mean, they're kind of running out of bodies, and, you know, Harden's a good post defender, but, you know, as we've said, he's not really in the shape to do something like that. So I'd like to think they'll do something else, but what that is, I can't really fathom because I think we've seen most of what their main options are right now.
Alex, if the Nets lose tomorrow night, what do you make of this season for them? Because the window is realistically this year, next year, and maybe the year after with the superstars and with the way the contracts are. What do you make of this? Is it that the injuries just derailed everything, or is there another way to look at it?
You know, I was talking on Dan Patrick's show earlier this morning about this, and I said if it's championship or bust season and they don't even get to the conference finals, I think you have to look at it as a disappointing season, right? I got a little bit of pushback on that, but, you know, generally speaking, I think when those the expectations are so high and you're going to fall short like that, you could look at it as a disappointing season. But, you know, I think what Steve Nash was able to do with the injuries, all things considered, and get them to the 2 seed and have all these guys kind of thrive for them. And, I mean, they had 27 different players suited up for them this season and almost 40 different starting lineups. You know, I think it's impressive that they were able to go the way they did against a team like the Bucks and have this continuity and chemistry that the Nets never seemed to get. But so I think that there is some positives to take, and I definitely think the injuries, you know, if they're fully healthy, it's probably a much shorter series against the Bucks. But I do think, just given, as you said, you know, last year was always going to be a wash as Durant was rehabbing his Achilles, and then Kyrie only played 20 games. So I just think it's a disappointing season if they lose, but that doesn't necessarily mean that nothing good came from it, if that makes sense.
No, I think it does. It is, you know, you run into these types of injuries. So many teams have. But that all being said, you know, Alex, before we let you run, we got about a minute. What do you envision tomorrow? It's been drastic how different the Nets have played offensively at home as opposed to on the road. I think they're averaging under 90 points a game on the road in this series. So what do you expect tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, as you said, it's a pick'em. I don't have very hard-hitting analysis. I mean, the home court advantage has been gigantic, and, you know, I expect Kevin Durant and Harden to play pretty well, and then maybe the Nets can find a way to get enough points. So I'm picking Brooklyn, but I don't feel that confident. I think there's plenty of reasons to go with the Bucks, but again, this has been such a weird series. I don't think there's a great answer, but I'm going off of just home court advantage, and as you said, the split difference is home and road for Nets in the series to find a way for them to maybe go to Atlanta or Philly in the next round.
Yeah, a Brooklyn-Atlanta series would be entertaining, but I don't think one that many people would have envisioned. But hey, you never know what will happen. Hey, Alex, great stuff, and I apologize that you had to hang out with Jeff in college.
It wasn't as bad as it sounds.
I don't believe it, but, you know, I'll take your word for it. There he is, Alex. Appreciate it. Alex Schiffer covers the Nets for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Alex_Schiffer. Overtime in Montreal. Early second quarter in Los Angeles. We got a lot to get to. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. we dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.